Welcome to the DermVet Podcast. I'm Dr. Ashley Bourgeois, a board-certified veterinary dermatologist practicing in Portland, Oregon with animal dermatology clinics. I'm also a mom of two, just trying to find the balance like everyone else. Let's learn to ditch the itch, cytology, everything, and make derm more fun than frustrating. I'm back. Thank you for your patience. And thank you to everybody who attended Western Veterinary Conference in Las Vegas, Nevada. It was so awesome. It was such a busy meeting, but an amazing meeting and just so much fun to connect with a lot of you. And for those of you who came to my lectures, just thank you from the bottom of my heart. It means everything and truly fuels me to keep doing this and to keep putting together content and lectures and knowing that it's really making a difference in how you practice dermatology. It just is what keeps me going through all the craziness. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Also, thank you for being patient. As I know last week, I didn't get an episode up where I usually would. After the craziness of coming back from Western, I ended up with three different doctor's appointments for my baby, and everything is fine and good. But between all of that, there was a daycare cold that completely stole my voice, and there was just no way you were going to want to listen to me talk about ears at that time. So thank you for your patience and understanding. It was a crazy few weeks, but we are through it, and now we are back, and we are back to talk about one of my favorite topics, and that's ears. We're going to start with some of the basics, because otitis in ears, truly, I mean, I've done hours upon hours and days on ears themselves, so today we're just going to start with the basics and really back it up and go to discussion of really diagnosing otitis. But what we're going to learn about today is something called the PSPP system. So you'll understand what that means as we get deeper into this. But I think it's a really good way when you see these otitis cases to take a step back and really think about in that individual case, what's going on. A lot of times when I consult or talk to veterinarians or lecture on otitis, I get asked, well, what products do you use? Like, what are the flushes that you use? But really, there's lots of different infections. There's lots of different successful ways to treat otitis. Sometimes what I see overlooked and missed is just looking at what is causing the otitis. Why is it there? What are the different factors that we need to control to make that ear better? So I do want to make the first ear podcast episode one where we take a step back and really learn the PSPP method so that you can start to think of all these things when you're working up these otitis cases. And why is otitis important? I mean, you guys know if you are general practitioners, otitis is one of the most common reasons that dogs are presented to a veterinarian. One of the recent polls showed that it's the number two reason dogs are seen more common than cats with otitis, but cat otitis absolutely can still happen and be a big problem. Otitis in that study was the second most common reason that dogs are presented to the veterinarian. The number one reason was pruritus or itch. So all I'm saying is derm is pretty cool and you guys are seeing it a lot. So it's an important thing to learn and feel comfortable with. When you see these cases, a couple of historical things you want to think about on your physical exam and while you're collecting the history from the owner. One, is it an acute or chronic presentation? So I'm going to treat a dog who comes in with a really acute unilateral swollen edematous ear infection much differently, not even just different topicals, but differently as far as my workup, my diagnostics, my systemic medications. That is going to be much different than a pet who presents with a recurrent yeast otitis bilaterally that's been going on for 4 to 5 years. So again, every otitis case is going to be very different. So the original thing you need to think about is this acute, I'm combining the two. Is this acute Or is this chronic? Is this bilateral? Is this unilateral? Are we getting a pungent odor? Are they scratching? Are they painful? Like if you just barely touch the side of the head, does the dog scream out? Are they showing behavior changes? Are they head tilting? Are they having nystagmus? Some of these patients can be extremely painful. And if you have dealt with ear infections yourself, or have had kids who've dealt with ear infections, or friends or family, it can be extremely excruciating. I have seen pets be aggressive. I have seen them, cower away. I've seen them scream when that would usually not be their behavior. So making sure when we work up these cases, we're looking at them through all directions. Like, do they need something systemically? Can the owner medicate at home or not? Can they put drops in the ear? Is the ear too swollen to put drops in? Will the pet just try to bite them if they put drops in? Like, these are all the things as we start looking at these cases we need to take into consideration. So where we start really is thinking about the diagnostic approach to otitis. We'll have different episodes that go over, you know, more of the flushing or topical therapy or systemic therapy, or what do we do? When do we make the decision that they just need to go to surgery and have a tickaboo? So we can look into all of those different options on future podcasts. The big thing I want to cover today is the diagnostic approach, and really more the PSPP than truly like cytology and culturing, because we can go over that in the future. PSPP stands, it's an acronym that stands for predisposing factors. Oh, sorry, if we're doing PSPP, primary causes, secondary causes, predisposing factors, and perpetuating factors. I got to get my letters right to make sense for you guys. And so these are the different ways that we're starting to think of what's really, besides just like an infection, what's really affecting this ear canal. So let's start with primary causes. This is obviously one of the most important things that we're looking at, because it's really what's the underlying reason? What has caused this ear infection to happen? It's really not common at all to have an ear infection just happen for no reason. Like, sure, you can occasionally have, they go swimming once, something gets caught in their ear, but that'd still be a primary cause. You're not just going to have an ear infection willy-nilly. There's going to be a reason that it occurs. So the primary cause is the inciting agent or etiology that damages that ear canal's epithelium. When you get damage to the epithelium, you often get subsequent inflammation. And so we have to figure out the underlying cause so we can not only get through this ear infection, but most importantly, we get to the point where we're not having subsequent ear infections, because that's the big thing that we're seeing with a lot of these animals is they're not just breaking out with one ear infection. If they just broke out with one ear infection, it'd be pretty easy to get them through it. It's the fact that we don't get the underlying primary cause under control, and all of a sudden we're having monthly ear infections, seasonal ear infections, resistant ear infections, and those are all the things that we're trying to rule, stay away from by getting the primary cause under control. So obviously one of the biggest things as a primary cause we're going to see is something like allergies. So atopic dermatitis and food allergies are going to be the two things that we most commonly see causing ear infections. Now, a lot of times I get asked about ear infections and, you know, it has to be a food allergy if ear infections happen. Certainly, ear infections are something that if they happen at a young age, if they're happening all the time, if we can't get them under control, I am concerned about food allergy. And I always think food allergy is a good thing to work up, because food allergy can be really sneaky. It can pop in as a concurrent allergy while you're working up things like atopy. But I will say I have had several patients where they're just atopic, and food and ear infections are a manifestation of their atopy. So I absolutely think you need to work up food allergies, especially if you're concerned about that and we are having difficult ear infections. But not all ear infections that are recurrent are just due to food. Atopy certainly can cause that. But there's other things beyond just having allergies that can cause ear infections. So certainly you need to look up, be looking for things like otodectes. I hardly ever see otodectes because that's something that general practice, you guys are finding very, very well. A lot of the newer isoxazoline seem to treat that. So I hardly ever see ear mites, but it's absolutely something you want to rule out, especially in young dogs and cats. But don't forget the other things that can cause recurrent skin infections. So endocrinopathies. You can have a hypothyroid dog or a Cushingoid dog that can cause ear infections. So if you have a dog that through, you know, several years of life has never had any issues, and then all of a sudden is getting hair loss and they're not really itchy, but they get some ear infections. I mean, certainly you still need to do your workup and rule out underlying allergies, but you could just control something like an endocrinopathy and all of a sudden they could do a lot better. One thing you definitely want to be doing to look for the primary cause is a really good otoscopy exam, because we don't want to miss things like masses or foreign bodies that can be in the ear canals. So a good otoscopy exam, if you can't get down the ear canal because it's too swollen or the pet's uncomfortable and they just won't let you get a good look into it, it's okay to treat the infection, treat the swelling, and then take a step back and say on recheck, let's make sure, you know, if we need to sedate, we can, but let's get a really good look down that ear canal so we don't miss something like a mass or a foreign body. Certainly things like grassons can occur in the ear canal. They will usually cause something like a unilateral ear infection. I have occasionally seen dogs where they'll get, because it's been there for so long, they'll get an ear infection in the other ear just from shaking and rubbing the head so much. But if you certainly have a predominantly unilateral infection, you want to rule out something like a mass or a foreign body in those cases before we get all worked up about something like allergies. So allergies can favor one ear in certain cases. So a good otoscopy exam. We're also looking at other issues that the pet might have or other clinical signs. So just because they present with something like an ear infection, don't forget to ask and go back to the history podcast we had. Ask about, well, do they lick their paws? Do they chew their paws? Do they have GI signs? Because people often hone in on the ear infection because it smells, they're uncomfortable, they're swollen, they're painful. And then when you really dig deeper, it's, oh yeah, I mean, they've always kind of licked their paws a lot in the summer, but we could manage it, or never seemed to be that big of a deal. You want to look for those other signs so that we can get a better idea of what the primary cause might actually be. So good otoscopy exam, we're going to do our complete history, we're going to do our cytologies that we'll get into in a little bit, but we're really going to start thinking about why is this ear infection there right away. Now the S is obviously going to stand for secondary causes. It's the only one that gets a different letter. So the secondary cause is what we usually think about, right? That's the secondary bacteria and yeast overgrowth. So this is where we are doing our cytologies. We're getting a really good sample, always getting a cytology because infections can change. We want to quantify the infection. We want to make sure there truly is an infection, that we're treating appropriately. So these secondary causes like a yeast or bacterial growth really should not create pathology in a healthy ear. So the secondary causes are inciting that disease in the ears because of the primary cause or the predisposing factor, which we're going to talk about. So the secondary cause is what usually we focus in on. Oh, they have a yeast otitis, they have a bacterial otitis, they have a Pseudomonas otitis. And it's a big problem and we have to address it appropriately and identify it through cytology, but we need to make sure that we're starting to think of things like the primary cause before we're jumping on to the long-term ramifications of treating these infections, because treating the infections are great and we want to do that, but if we don't think about the primary cause, then we're going to have really frustrated owners and uncomfortable pets that eventually get a resistant infection because they're having them happen so often. The second P, so we've gone through primary cause, secondary cause. The second P is predisposing factors. So these factors by themselves don't cause otitis. However, they increase the risk for development and persistence of a chronic infection. So essentially, predisposing factors they're working with those primary or secondary causes to lead to issues. So an example of this would be something like abnormal conformation. So a dog that was born with, you know, a stunted ear canal or an incomplete ear canal, if they were born with an extremely anatomically narrow ear canal, if you have something like a topical reaction. So these are things that we have to look at. Like, I mean, if you have something like a ear canal atresia congenitally, by themselves, if they don't have secondary causes popping up, they don't really cause an issue, but they predispose that pet to have issues, and that becomes a big problem. Finally, the last P that we're going to have is perpetuating factors, which originally I tried to start you guys with, but I wanted to make sure the factors were together. So perpetuating factors, they're one of the things I think often gets overlooked and can cause a really big issue. So these are when you get changes in the anatomy and physiology of the ear as a response to otitis externa. So since we are often dealing with recurrent infections, perpetuating factors start piling up, start becoming bigger and bigger problems. And if we don't address those things, then we have a harder time treating the ear canal and providing comfort to the patient. These perpetuating factors are much more common in really chronic cases. So if we think about those Cocker Spaniels who have ear infections just over and over and over again, or allergy cases that get ear infections every summer and we never really get the underlying atopy under control. So perpetuating factors will actually accentuate the development of secondary infections. And what they do is they create environments that favor the persistence of that infection. So examples of perpetuating factor would be things like fibrosis, stenosis of the ear canal, calcification is the really big one. So having these factors really prevent the resolution of otitis because they can lead to irreversible changes to the ear canal. And that's how we end up being a referral from the dermatologist to a referral to the surgeon. So if you have those patients that come in and they have, you know, recurrent ear infections or they have a really edematous ear, this is where you really want to take a step back and think about the history in your exam. So when I see these cases and they're really painful or they have a history of just infection after infection after infection, the first thing I do is I actually palpate the ear canal from the outside. Because if I go to palpate the ear canal and right away the dog screams, the dog's uncomfortable, or I just feel something rock hard, like that canal has completely calcified, that's going to give me an idea of, one, can I even do an otoscopy exam? And two, what is the best option for this patient? If I see that Cocker Spaniel, which unfortunately are just genetically predisposed to calcify in their ear canals, and I grab the left ear canal and it is just rock hard, like complete bone, then I'm going to right away tell that owner, you know, I'll try to look into it and we can do some cytologies, but really, honestly, your best bet at this point is to go see a surgeon and get a TKBOO done, because ultimately calcification is not something that we can reverse. And these infections get very painful. And I've even recently had a couple cases that I've been trying to refer them to surgery and they're just really resistant to going. And the patient is to the point where on their monitoring lab work, they're having a super high neutrophilia, high white blood cell counts. They're having bands because the body is just completely affected by this tissue because it is just a nidus for infection that's sitting there and causing this tremendous inflammatory response. And at that point, the body's almost acting like it's a foreign body. Like it is not supposed to be there. It's not supposed to have this just infected rock hard calcification sitting in the head. So make sure when you have these cases that you are palpating the outside of the head by the ear canal so you get an idea if there is calcification. Now, there's cases that have mild calcification and you can control them. You know, you can get them under control if they're not swollen to the part where they're completely shut or they're completely calcified. You can reverse some of the edema around it. And even if they have mild calcification and you get the primary cause under control, Some of those you can make feel a lot better, but you just want to set realistic expectations for the owner that there's certain things that we just can't salvage. And if they get extremely calcified, that's going to be one of the things that we can't salvage, and they're better off for the pet's health and honestly financially to proceed surgery at that point. Because if we keep trying to throw medications at it and cytologies and cultures for something that we know is never going to completely heal, over time, surgery is probably one of the best financial options for them. And most importantly, it's going to make them feel better. I get clients all the time that if they come back to me after they see the surgeon and get an ear canal taken out, they say, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize that my dog wasn't acting like a puppy. He's acting like a puppy now. I didn't realize how much it affected him. And I can speak to this from my own son, who recently had to have tubes put in his ear because he kept having otitis media. He never really seemed that bad, but he's just been even happier since he had them in. So it's really amazing how much better they can feel if that nasty tissue gets out of there. So to review the PSPP system when you're thinking of these cases, one, the first P, primary causes. So what is the reason that this animal is breaking out with ear infections? Certainly allergies are one of the most common, but don't forget about things like endocrinopathies, even autoimmune diseases. I've had pemphigus dogs where they keep flaring with ear infections related to their pemphigus. Looking for those things, in you, especially in unilateral ears, like a mass or a foreign body. And then ultimately a lot of them working up those allergies, especially if they're bilateral and chronic. Secondary causes are going to be the things that we usually focus on, like the yeast overgrowth and the bacterial overgrowth, something that we definitely need to address and get under control, and make sure that we're doing our cytology so we know exactly what we're treating, and making sure we're making the right decisions for that pet and not just throwing products at them if we don't actually quantify the infection and know the source of the infection. So the second P, so predisposing factors, that's the more rare things like abnormal conformation, where they're just predisposed to have that increased risk for development of chronic infection because it works with things like the primary or secondary causes. And then finally, the last P, perpetuating factors. So those are the things that often get overlooked in these chronic cases like fibrosis, stenosis, calcification. When you have these extremely fibrotic, stenotic ears, these are sometimes the cases that I will reach for things like oral steroids to open up that ear canal and address that perpetuating factor so that they are more comfortable. And then we'll try to eventually switch to a different medication long term to control them. But these are the cases where they're really fibrotic, uncomfortable, painful, edematous, where using something like short course steroids can be one of the best things you can do to provide comfort and allow us to medicate that ear even better. So PSPP, primary cause, secondary cause, predisposing factor, and perpetuating factors. So every time you see a case, we're going to think about PSPP and really get to the bottom of these ear infections. So we're not just treating the secondary cause and sending them on their way, but we're looking at the ear canal from like a global perspective and really trying to get these guys under control so we have less frustrated owners and more comfortable pets, most importantly. So I hope that is helpful. Like I said, we will definitely have more. There's so many otitis episodes we can do, but I just wanted to lay a foundation for you guys as far as what I start to think about in these cases when I'm developing treatment plans for them. So until the next time, make sure you're looking into those ears, you're thinking about PSPP, check out Instagram and Facebook for further tips for dermatology. And I hope you guys have an amazing time working up your allergy cases and catch the next episode of the podcast where I will be starting to interview other dermatologists, which I'm so, so excited about. So you guys can see other opinions and views of how to treat these patients. Thanks, guys.